Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, providing knowledge, professionalism, and information on insurance issues. Commercial or pleasure, boat and crew, Petersburg Insurance, offering asset protection on the water or at home.
Jeff?
Here.
Nancy?
Yes.
Eric?
Here.
Cindy?
Here.
Bob?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for keeping me on track there. And we do not have any minutes to approve this time around, but we do need to approve any amendments and this meeting agenda. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Jeff and seconded by Member Stanton Gregor that we approve the agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Moving on to public hearings, the first order of the day is public hearing on Ordinance 2017-11, an ordinance of the Petersburg Borough adjusting the FY 2018 budget for known changes. And we will entertain any public testimony regarding Ordinance 2017-11. Is there anybody who wishes to speak to this item? And seeing only Ben from the pilot in the audience, I think we will move on to the next item, which is public hearing on Ordinance 2017-12, an ordinance amending Section 4.24.050 of the Petersburg Borough Code relating to the property tax exemptions to include the State of Alaska optional exemption for approved fire protection systems and directing that that amendment be submitted to the voters of the borough. And this is regarding the previously mandatory exemption, which is now optional, and that's why we would be putting it to the voters. Is there anyone who wishes to speak to that? Seeing none, we will move on to the next item on our agenda, which is a bid award, authorization to award Petersburg Municipal Power and Light 16 Building Re-Roof and Insulation Project. Public Works Director Hegerman is recommending the award of the building re-roof and insulation project to Rainforest Contracting for an amount not to exceed $78,505. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Lynn, that we authorize this award of contract to Rainforest Contracting. Is there any discussion?
Yeah.
Yes, Bob.
I just have a question for Carl. Does that take care of the, on that building, that takes care of the leak where it's coming down on the equipment back there, the SCADA system?
No, this is a different building. This is a generator building that also has leaks coming through the roof. The mechanic, Bob Zemke, has placed buckets in various locations. It's been patched for years and really needs to be replaced. But this is not the location that you're asking about.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
And that is a unanimous approval. Moving on, next item on the agenda is visitors' views related to the agenda. Is there anyone who wishes to speak to an item on the agenda? And seeing none, visitors' views unrelated to the agenda. Is there anyone who wishes to speak to an item? Seeing none, we will move on to board, commission, and committee reports, and there have been none filed. There are no items on the consent agenda, and so we move on to report of other officers, and the Clerk Thompson will update the assembly on the upcoming municipal election.
Okay, just a quick overview. Our municipal election will be held on Tuesday, October 3rd. From 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the activity room at the Help me. Rec Center.
Community Rec Center.
Thank you. we will be electing 23 positions, hopefully. We'll have enough candidates to put somebody in every position. We have a two-year term for mayor. We have 2 3-year terms for assembly members, two assembly member 3-year terms, 2 school board members, 1 3-year term, 1 2-year term, 5 hospital board members, 2 3-year terms, and 3 2-year terms, 4 planning commissioners, 3 3-year terms, and 1 1-year term, 3 library board members, all 3-year terms, 3 harbor board members, all 3-year terms, and 3 public safety board members, 2 3-year terms and 1 1-year term. We do not have to fill out the public officials' financial disclosure forms for APOC because of our election in 2015 where we got to opt out, so that's good. There are 5 possible propositions so far to be placed on the ballot. The first one will be whether to amend the borough charter to allow the city of Kuprinoff to own and operate a harbor facility within the borough. The second is whether to increase a sales tax exemption cap for a single sale of goods or services within the borough from $1,200 to $1,500. The third is whether to limit the exemption for sales of goods to be used outside the borough to those ordered either online or by telephone or mail from outside the borough to a buyer who resides or has its principal place of business outside the borough, and the goods are delivered to the buyer at a location outside the borough via common carrier or the U.S. Postal Service. And number 4 will be whether to allow the borough to spend up to $500,000 from the Borough Economic Fund for local cost sharing necessary to develop a small vessel haul-out and work yard at the Scow Bay turnaround. And number 5 will be whether to exempt 2% of the assessed value of structures containing approved fire protection systems from municipal real property taxation. The first day to file for candidacy was Tuesday, July 25th. The last day to file for candidacy is August 22nd by 5 p.m. You can certainly pick up any candidacy forms here at the front desk of the Finance Admin Department. The last day to qualify and register to vote in this year's municipal election is September 3rd, and we have voter registration forms here at the borough offices as well. And this year's election officials will be Mary Leonard, Kathy O'Rear, Chad Wright, and Erica Warhatch.
And that's all right. It. Thank you. And thank you to the folks who are willing to serve as election officials as well.
Steve just pointed out something that I totally left off, and that is our 2 initiative petitions. I apologize. So now there's 7 things that will be on the ballot. So we also have the OHV initiative and the fluoride initiative. Thank you, Steve.
That's correct.
Oops.
The next item on our agenda is the electric. Is there anybody that has any questions before I move on? All right. Our next item is the electric department project update, and Public Works Director Hagerman will give us an update on what's going on at the electric department.
Thank you, Mayor. Is it okay if I sit back here?
Yeah,
I can come up front.
Just make sure you speak up, though.
Okay. I'll get it right close. Okay, happy to provide a report to the Assembly today regarding electric department projects. But first, one important thing to note that the community needs to know is that this annual SEPA shutdown, which was delayed due to some labor negotiations in Wrangell, will happen in September this year. So from September 5th through the 15th, we'll be running diesels to provide power to the community. So everybody knows. And so one of the specific tasks that I had in my interim role with Power and Light was to start looking at a long-term capital improvement plan. And so I've got lots of details for you today on how that's going and the various projects that we're looking at in that department. First of all, I want to mention that the department has renewed a former miscellaneous consulting contract with Electric Power Systems, EPS. They're a firm that has done a lot of work for the utility in the past, knows our systems really well, and they've been retained for the same amount as the past, $10,000 to help out with miscellaneous and various electrical engineering questions that come up throughout the year. So we may or may not be relying on them to help us out, depending on what happens throughout the year. They will likely also be targeted to help us out with evaluating some of the projects on this list, but we're not quite there yet. So just a brief description of how I'm going to move forward, or my plan to move forward with this, is to identify current projects, ongoing projects, capital project funds that may or may not be in completed, and also look at future projects, projects that aren't on lists yet. And after the list is finalized, then we will try to put numbers to those projects as far as what their estimated costs will be, and then schedule those in over a period of several years so that we know when those expenses will hit and how we need to organize and coordinate staff, contractors, and users of the system. So the first step I took with that is to have a brainstorming session with the staff, got everybody together, and I had a very productive meeting to talk about all the different projects that are either ongoing or potential to have to be looked at in the future. I'll just start going down the list of ongoing projects that we have. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to take them at any time. Some projects that you've probably heard of, the penstock clearing project. This is a project to clear any second growth or danger trees around the penstock, which is the water supply pipe that goes from Crystal Lake down to the hydro. That project should be complete as of last week. D&D Tree Services, a local company, was doing that cutting and was making good headway. Hopefully they're done. I haven't gotten final word on that, but that serves to just protect the penstock. We don't want any trees coming down on that thing and interrupting the water flow to the hydro. So next project is mainly an in-house project, largely an in-house project, the 350 generator project. It refers to the 350 kilowatt project that serves as the immediate backup power to this building, and it also provides emergency power to the power plant in the case of an outage. So they come in and the lights are on when they get there also, so the power is maintained to this building and primarily the police department. That project has been ongoing for a couple of years, and the unit has been purchased. It's on the way to Petersburg. Staff is coordinating the various aspects of that work. Like I said, it's an in-house project, so the mechanic's going to be doing running fuel lines and helping the contractor with the concrete work. The line crew will be pulling wire after the new unit is set in place. The electrician will be terminating wires and working with the EPS, who is a consultant on this project, to commission the unit once it's in place. There's a lot of coordination that needs to happen, primarily because of the backup power status of this building. If we take that unit out of commission and we have an outage, there is no backup power to this building. So Scott and I have been working with Steve and Kelly and trying to sort out a good option for to get by, and we'll get there. We were hoping to take that unit out of service towards the end of this month, August 21st or so, and have it down and the new one coming in and commissioned by the end of September. So it's a pretty long length of time to be out of a backup power source. But we've got some options. We're looking at the UPS situation and some other smaller generators just to power up the critical infrastructure in the police department. And I guess the important thing is to know that it really only needs to, if we had an outage while this generator was out of service, it would only be down until power and light staff responded to the power plant and fired up all the other generators to restore power. And once that happens, then power is obviously back to the building and we're good to go. But that could be up to an hour, hour and a half. So we can't be without 911 for that length of time, and we're sorting it out. The headquarters remodel project is moving forward. Contract has been executed with Rainforest Contracting. We are having the pre-construction meeting on August 8th. We'll sort out all the coordination issues with staff and the schedule for the work so that we know when the contractor is going to be mobilizing on site and when he's going to start tearing into the building and rebuilding it. The potential is there to move the office staff up to Public Works in the space that's being vacated right now by community development. I don't have a final date on that, but that will be much easier on the staff to not have to deal with a wide open building during the project, dust and noise that goes along with that. So the project should take about 6 months, 5 to 6 months to complete, and Power and Light staff should be back in the building after it's remodeled sometime in March, April 2018.
Carl, was there an end date on that contract when we put it out that we just signed?
Yeah, it's the final completion date, I believe, is April 1. The 16 building roof insulation that was just awarded, thank you for that. That will move forward quickly. The contractor is the same contractor that has the remodel job, and he would actually like to do this work first as he's waiting for other materials and supplies to come in for the remodel project. So that might work out really well, and he'll start on that. I wanted to mention that the roof leak that you mentioned, Bob, is part of a breezeway that goes into what's called a superior building, and that superior roof also needs to be replaced. It's been patched many times, and there is funding that exists in the 16 building capital project fund. It was not included in this award today, so I'll be working on figuring out how to either work that into an existing project such as a remodel or the 16 building, or do a separate bid for that work. But there is money available for that, and we'll move forward. I think it's pretty important to fix the roof that is over the top of our control room and our generators. So
does that have to change insulation too at the same time when we re-roof it?
I'm not sure about that, but we'll definitely take a look at it. The system that's going in on the 16 building is it's a prefabricated insulated panel. And those, from my experience in Public Works, we've done a couple buildings like that, and they're really, it's a good product, and provides long-term protection of the contents of the building and lasts forever practically. So something like that makes sense to do roof panels in the same manner for the Superior Building, but we haven't determined that yet. The 24-9 Rebuild Capital Project Fund is an ongoing project fund. It's been on the books for a long time. The latest part of that project is going to be to replace a switch or install a switch for the PFI. It's been a project that's had starts and stops, and the latest stop is just to we need to coordinate with the school. We've got a large amount of site work to do right at the corner of First Street and Balder to house a large switch and some other components, and then start an underground line from that point down to PFI. And it was a project that was going to be done in-house. The lineman issue, not having a full historical complement of linemen, slowed Joe Nelson down from getting that work accomplished. Right now, Scott has recommended that we just contract that work out to another line company and get it done. The site work, however, is different. It's a different part of that, so we'll be working on putting those two components together and trying to get a contract out to bid and get that work done. It's a pretty complicated coordination issue. Because it will shut down a large section of town for a short while that some swap over is happening. can't do it in the middle of fishing season. It'll likely be, you know, during when school's in, so that may cause some problems. And so there are definite coordination issues that need to be worked through, but we'll get there. Street lighting project is a line item in this year's electric budget. Last year, there was a lot of work done by a committee to identify some new lighting standards for the Main Street part of Petersburg. And the cost of those standards was much higher than budget. So it was put on the shelf, and more money was put in this year's budget. So we haven't made any orders of light poles, but the design has already been selected, so we'll move ahead on that as we can. Also in that, out of that money in the budget, there will be some replacements of existing light heads in favor of LED, more high-efficient lights around town on the main drags. There's a utility mapping project in the budget. Basically, this is just hiring a consultant to verify what is in the field as far as our power system, and then transferring that data into the GIS system that is under Liz Cabrera's control and community development. Yeah, it's important just to know for lots of safety reasons. The staff can look at that and know what infrastructure should be in the field, what voltages that is, and where the power is coming from, so they can work on it safely. There's an auto meter reading in the harbor. This project is to replace standard electrical meters in the harbor with automatic reading, which basically they send the reading to a central point, which can be transferred into data. It also would allow staff to turn meters on and off and get readings from a remote location instead of having to walk down to the end of the float, which comes into play in the summertime, I understand, from lots of transient traffic coming in. They tie up, they want power, they turn it on for a day, and then they leave town. And so the electrician and the meter reader are constantly going up and down the float to connect and disconnect meters. So this will help out quite a bit with that. And it'll make just the meter reading in the harbor very efficient. In the future, we looked at some projects that haven't really been funded yet. And these are, at least the first five are in an order of a preference, priority for the staff. And the first one really involves a hydro. Crystal Lake Hydro has been in place for a long time, and it's been very beneficial to the system. It is in need of a rewind. A simple word such as rewind doesn't sound like a whole lot, but it basically means we have to dismantle the whole thing, send it someplace, likely the Midwest, have them rewind all the wire, all the copper on the unit, reconfigure some other components, send that back, reinstall it. It's quite a process. It's very expensive. Along with that rewind, there's been a substation switch project on the books for a while that it's an in-house project, and Scott and his crew were heading in that direction to do it. Just it's a coordination issue of when to take the hydro down so you can do that. And so we've decided that it probably would be best just to wait till the rewind project, when there isn't any power coming from that station, to do this the switch project. At the same time, staff said it's a good idea to do a ground grid, which is basically a series of underground wires to strengthen the grounding system for the whole substation and hydro, and also some site work on the backside of the hydro building. There's groundwater that comes down the hill that in periods of heavy rainfall actually infiltrates the building, and then you have that moisture in the building, and it's not good for electrical components whatsoever. So that'll be something that we address in this project. So we've taken a project that was fairly small, a switch project, and now it most likely will be a much larger project, but it's something that's needed, and we need to start planning and scheduling to get it done.
Carl, when we do that, Do we need to upgrade the SCADA system so that we can you can track it better in here, or is there do we have all everything in place now that we need, or what are we doing?
Well, the SCADA system, as far as what I've seen, and its ties to the hydro, are pretty good. They are able to see what they need to see. The switch that goes in will be a remote operated switch, so they'll be able to open and close that from the power plant in here. I think they have that capacity now. Yeah. But this the new switch is a newer technology, better for the long run. But the SCADA system itself, I think, is okay. It does what it needs to do. Another big project on the horizon is this Main Street substation transformer. This is the main transformer that's behind the power plant, and it takes three different voltages from the generators and converts, transforms that into one common voltage, you know, to power the community in an outage. And so it's a very important, it's very specialized. And right now it's not in any danger of failing at the present time, but it's getting old, and we're keeping an eye on some of the parts of the transformer are showing age and wear, and so it gives the staff concern. It would be better to plan ahead on this one. This is it's so specialized. There's not one on a shelf anywhere, so it has to be built. Likely a year lead time to get one here. So staff and I both feel that, you know, to get this project in the hopper and plan to replace it so that we have a new one to rely on for the next 40 years would be a prudent decision. Along with that, there's concern over the trees that are right next to it, the ones that are in the park below the library. If the project goes through, then we'll probably look at trying to cover that transformer so that limbs aren't a concern, and putting full height chain link walls on the building, if you will, just to protect it from vandals and other people trying to throw stuff in there, which has happened, unfortunately. People trying to I don't know what they're trying to do, but throwing bottles and whatever into or at the transformer, not a good idea. So anyway, that's a very important project. We talked about a project to convert the 2400-volt system up by the airport to 24/9. That would be a good upgrade to make. Another project that could be done in-house is to upgrade all the residential meters, electric meters in Petersburg. The meters that get taken out of, get swapped out for whatever reason, Gary Morgan has tested a number of those, and he's found a lot of them to be less efficient. They're moving slower, which means they're not reading the energy usage correctly, and so we're losing revenue in the utility because of that. His proposal is to replace all those meters with all the old mechanical meters with newer digital meters, and provide a better accuracy to the to the billing of energy in the community. Scow Bay Generator Number 2 is another project that's probably down the road a little ways, but something to be thinking about. There are three generators in the power plant right now that are getting old, and you know there is some concern about their long-term reliability now, and so. The thought is to stage another generator about the same size as the current Scow Bay generator out there, and replace two or three of the smaller generators that are in the Superior building right now. These projects that I'm talking about right now, if we're discussing them, but we really don't have a whole lot of detail, and these would be subject to the consultant coming in and helping us weigh options and putting numbers to them. Moving on down the list, Libby Strait, putting that overhead line on Libby Strait to underground system. Essentially, this is just for maintenance reasons. It's hard to access that line because it's out over the beach, and the guy wires that are on the beach are subject to corrosion. So it's an ongoing concern. If we put it underground up in the right-of-way, then that maintenance issue goes away. Some of the same thing on Sandy Beach Road. Sandy Beach Road overhead, we're seeing there's a lot of trees out there, a lot of wind issues, and so if we moved Sandy Beach lines underground, then those maintenance and emergency issues could go away. The plan improvements project is the project to improve parking and access, but also I see it after talking with staff, and I think the bigger improvement here is to revamp the control room in the power plant. The control room really hasn't been touched in technology since, 1950s. Some of that stuff is still there. So, you know, that is, to me, the bigger part of that project, and the parking improvements and the access would be something that we should probably look at as opportunistic. If property were to come for sale, you know, we should be ready to jump on it. But in the meantime, let's plan on revamping the control room and improving that system. In Scow Bay, a lot of the line supplies are out in the weather right now. The poles, the spools of wire, different things, and it would be nice to have a shed roof to protect some of that those supplies so that their value is retained over the years. Staff would like to install some more sectionalizing switches in the big circuits. These are helpful when you have an outage and you bring power back on. You're able to break up the system into smaller pieces and bring it on so it's not such a hard hit to the generators. Staff would also like to change the overhead that goes across Hammer Slough here and the bridge. They'd like to take that out of the air and mount it to the underside of the bridge so that little nicer to look at and easier to take care of. And there are a couple, you know, maintenance projects, just a pole testing replacement program. We don't really have one of those, but staff thought that would be a good idea, as well as to take a look at the main fuel tank for the power plant. It needs to be evaluated, tested, make sure that it's not going to spring a leak on us. And so that's the list that we have so far. And it'll continue to be refined. And once I get that squared away, then I probably will go out for a consultant to help us evaluate those and frankly look at the system and see if there's any other projects that a professional engineer would suggest for Petersburg to do. And with that, I'd just like to invite the assembly and the manager to, if there are any questions about any of these projects or if you want to see exactly what it is, staff would be more than happy to take you around, show you the facilities, and answer any questions that you have on the condition of the infrastructure.
Any questions? Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Carl, you mentioned about upgrading the meters in the residential sectors. Would that be something that would be like you're thinking about in the harbor that it could be remotely read?
It could be, yes. The advantage, and staff isn't really looking at that right now. Mm-hmm. The advantage of having a meter reader go around every meter location is that they see things that you wouldn't see if you were just driving by. Mm-hmm. There are a couple ways to do it. You can have a unit in a vehicle, and it just pings the meters and reads that as you're driving by. Or a community this size, a lot of meters could probably report directly to the power plant. But like I started to say, the downside of that is that the meter reader actually sees various issues with installations, meters being treated the wrong way, or you know, caught many issues of theft of power just from the meter reader going around and looking at the meter. So there are pros and cons to it. But to answer your question, yes, it could be done.
Thank you.
Yes.
I just wanted to thank you and Scott and the staff for taking the time to put together such a thorough list to bring before us today. Thank you.
Welcome.
Did you have a
question? Yeah, I do, but go ahead.
Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, that was quite an exhaustive list. as for the contractor, During this interim period, is there any expectation that we'll be using them more than in the past?
Well, we'll have to see. We decided, I really thought it was a good idea to retain that consultant, just in case something comes up that we can't answer as a department. In the past, there was this contract was in place in 2016, and I believe they only used about $1,000 of it. So it hasn't really been used that much in the past. It has not been used yet to date this fiscal year, so we'll just have to see what comes to the door and what kind of questions we have to answer.
Yeah. Back to the rewind on the generator, Carl. I know if when we take it out, we'd like to put it back on the same footprint, essentially. But is there, in the process of doing the rewind and so forth, is there any way to increase the efficiency of that generator or to change it in such a way, or are we looking at analysis of it, of what we might do?
Well, it's a good question, and I don't really have an answer for you because we haven't gotten that close on putting that out to bid. It's a huge project, so it needs to be bid out. And as part of that, we need to know exactly what we're going to do, and definitely will be a thing that our consultant will help us sort out what can be done, you know, to improve that system. My sense is that the footprint that's there to change it would be even more costly than the project will already be. And so the best case scenario would be to rewind the existing unit and put it right back in the same footprint. Don't know if there are means and methods that can be used by a contractor to improve the efficiency of the unit if using the same footprint, putting it back in.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to double check because I've heard some of these projects before and you've added some additional ones. Initially, when we talked a couple of weeks ago, you had said that Power and Light reserves would cover at least the priority projects. You're still thinking that you're okay for the most part?
This list, I added up the price tag on this list, and if we did all of it today, it would be about an $8.5 million outlay.
Okay.
Of course, we're not going to do it all at one time.
Right.
You know, so, you know, part of the capital improvement plan is scheduling these projects in and deciding which ones are, you know, the highest priority and making those happen as soon as possible. A lot of them, because of the systems that they influence, there's a high amount of coordination that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And so that will probably come into play in the scheduling these projects out too. But my sense is that once we have a closer look at this and know how much revenue is needed every year to make these projects happen, given the fact that we need to retain a certain amount of reserves in the department, I think we'll be able to do it.
Okay.
And I guess that's the beauty of starting from scratch is that there is no preconceived schedule now, so we can fit the schedule to the funds available and make it all happen.
All right. And if folks haven't toured before, the last time I toured Power and Light was back in the days of Sid Bacon and Joe were very gracious when I first came on the assembly. It was fascinating, and I will definitely take you up because I will be looking at it with a different eye this time. But it's worth a walkthrough. And I think you've done it as well, haven't you, Eric?
Not the Power and Light. Just,
okay.
Public Works.
Okay. All righty. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For that very
thorough
report.
Sorry it was so
report.
Long.
Next item on the agenda is the mayor's report, and you have heard some of these items before. We are seeking letters of interest from Petersburg residents willing to serve our community by filling one vacant seat on the hospital board just until the October 2017 municipal election. So if you want to do a quick and dirty public service, you can do a real short and sweet one. And I urge folks to send in their letters of interest to the borough clerk, and they can be emailed to dthompson@petersburgak.gov, mailed to P.O. Box 329, Petersburg AK 99833, or you can drop them off at the borough administration office at 12 South Nordic Drive. We're also we're seeking letters of interest for three vacant seats on the Historic Preservation Commission. Seat 1 is reserved for an archaeologist or an at-large member, and the term of the seat ends 12/31/2017. Seat 2 is reserved for an assembly member with a term ending 12/31/2019. Seat 3 is reserved for a planning commissioner with a term ending 12/31/2018. Letters of interest may be submitted to the borough clerk as outlined earlier in this report. And then, as the clerk said, the municipal election day is October 3rd. Individuals who wish to run for available seats may file for candidacy July 25th through August 22nd. Please contact the clerk's office for more information and paperwork. And the last day to register to vote for this election is September 3rd. Voter registration forms are available at the front desk of the borough offices, and I urge everybody to register and to vote. And finally, Assembly Hospital Board work session. We have finally scheduled one, and we will have a joint work session to be held in Assembly Chambers on Wednesday, August 23rd, 2017, at 10 a.m. And we do not have a manager's report this time. So moving on to unfinished business, we have ordinances for second reading. And the first item is Ordinance 2017-11, an ordinance of the Petersburg Borough adjusting the FY 2018 budget for known changes. And do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's by moved by Member Stanton Greger, seconded by Member Nancy Strand, that we approve the budget, and this is for the Casino Street sewer main replacement in the amount of $160,000. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes. And that passes unanimously. And the next item is Ordinance 2017-12, an ordinance amending Section 4.24.050 of the Petersburg Borough Code relating to property tax exemptions to include the State of Alaska optional exemption for approved fire protection systems and directing that that amendment be submitted to the voters of the borough. And this is on June 12th. The governor signed SB 100 that turned the mandatory property tax exemption for structures with sprinkler systems into an optional exemption. In Petersburg, all tax exemptions must be approved by the voters. This would retain the sprinkler exemption into future years, and I believe it's a $2,200 exemption.
Total $3,200.
Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
I'm completely blanking on your name.
Jeff.
Mucci. It's been moved by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Castro that we approve Ordinance 2017-12. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call a roll?
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
And that passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda is new business, and there is nothing listed. And after that, we have communications. Has anybody got any communications to report? And for assembly discussion items, we have recognitions. Does anybody have any recognitions? Yes, Jay.
It is more of a public service announcement that, although it's been said several times today, please register to vote. It is our duty as citizens 18 and older, so please do so. And if you're feeling even more inclined, submit a letter and run for office. Also a great thing to do as part of your civic duty. Thank you.
Anybody else? I just had one, and I wanted to thank the Petersburg School and Community Garden organizers of the Sprout Camp. They got kids out to Farragut Farm and out to the Flower Farm. They gave them some experience in some hands-on experience in gardening and flower arranging and harvesting and cooking. It's kind of nice to be able to provide that and work with community businesses as well. So, and Christina Sargent, I think, was the spearhead for that. So thank you very much.
How many kids were involved in that?
I'm not sure. To be perfectly honest, I'm not sure. But saw some of the pictures, and they looked like they had a great time. They were moving hoop houses and doing flower arranging and all kinds of things. So, all right. Anything else? With that, I need a motion to move into take a five-minute break? Yes. We certainly can. We will take a five-minute break, convening at 12:50.
I'll just turn this way.
The assembly went on to a five-minute break, but that was not a break to resume the broadcast. Now, they apparently were just waiting for the attorney, and they're heading into an executive session there. So the meeting is concluded. We won't be rejoining the borough assembly meeting. We've had the whole meeting. Sorry to keep you in suspense there, but yeah, okay, good.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, providing knowledge, professionalism, and information on insurance issues. Commercial or pleasure, boat and crew, Petersburg Insurance, offering asset protection on the water or at home.